Amen. That's good. First time I've heard that song, as far as I remember. Appreciate that, Miss Linda, very much. Grace is always greater than our sin. It's good to have Brother House with us again tonight. Brother House, come on, speak to us. Short introductions and doing better.
Can't improve on that much. That's a good introduction. I'm glad you're here tonight. I've enjoyed the time so far, and I'm just delighted to be a little part of what the Lord's doing here at this good church. And I appreciate the effort that's being made in this part of town to get something done for God. And my daughter and the guy she lives with here tonight. So if you hadn't met them, you'll want to meet them. And the guy sitting there, he's a bum. He's the one that I was talking about when it said give unto whosoever asks you. That's him. You pick out all those descriptions, that's still him. He doesn't have a clue what we're talking about, and that's fine there. But it's just been good. Now, we'll be packing up the CDs and the book table tonight, because I know the drill tomorrow night, business meeting. I gave up business meetings 20 years ago. I don't plan to take them back up again. So we'll be slipping out after church, so if you want CDs or the Christian movies, Soul Winners New Testament, stop by and let's get you fixed up with that. Be sure and get the Bible reading guide and use it for a prayer guide, and I'll appreciate that. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. You find it in your Bible. You're going to be very familiar with the story, but I'd like for you to find it in your Bible, please. Luke chapter 9. We're going to talk tonight about the principles of multiplication. The principles of multiplication. Now, most of us understand addition, you know. But can you imagine if God chose to multiply your resources? Just to multiply them. Multiplication is an amazing thing, isn't it? I mean, it just starts growing, and then we use that term, it begins to multiply, and it just continues on. And most of us, as I said, we've got addition. We understand it. We understand subtraction probably even better. But the Bible talks about multiplication many, many, many times. And can you imagine, seriously now, if God multiplied your resources, how many more people you could help? How many more lost folks you could have a part in being saved? How many more churches you could help start through your local church? You know, I can't imagine a Christian not wanting to be a part of that, not wanting to be able to have a personal part in it. And the Bible is full of God multiplying resources. One of the best known stories is here in Luke chapter 9. You'll be very familiar with it, I'm sure. It's the multiplying of the bread and the fishes, allowing them to take a little bit of bread and a couple of fishes and feed 5,000. And it's very important to understand the concept here. So let me read beginning in verse 12 of Luke chapter 9 and just read the very familiar story to you, and then talk to you a little bit tonight about it. And when the day began to wear away, that's quite interesting. They're having a preaching service, and the day begins to wear away. You want to keep that in mind. Then came the 12 and said unto him, that's just so funny to me. I mean, here the man's preaching, and you got 12 that are supposed to be holding his hands up, and they show up trying to get him to stop preaching. I've had those kind help me. You know? Then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give you them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except that we should go and buy meat for all this people. For there were about 5,000 men. Now that's the way they counted crowds back in those days. They didn't count like we count. Because if we had counted that crowd, we'd come up with about 20,000. But they counted the men. That was a family. So you've got 5,000 families there. You can make it whatever you want to from there. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And one of the parallel passages is so explicit, it says 2 small fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed them. And let me just add a couple. Now, it doesn't need any addition for you to understand it. It just helps me, okay? So listen, he blessed them and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. Now, we've heard the story so many times, it's just, if you don't get plugged in real early, it's just not going to mean a thing to you tonight. But to kind of update it and keep it just like it is in the Bible, could you imagine you were there back in Bible times when that went on? Could you take your mind and just travel back there for a few moments? Matter of fact, if you just each individually would imagine you've been elected to the Messiah Search Committee and you're looking for a preacher. And you got a pretty good candidate lined up here. He's been healing the sick and raising the dead. And so you want to get a good crowd together. You want to do the best you can with it. So I'm going to take some of you way back now. So you have a pack of pew day. Way back there. And you get a pretty good crowd together. You got a good candidate lined up. You got the good crowd there. Special music. I heard the other day somebody ask a pastor, and I don't know why I love this so much, but I do know why too. I just don't want to confess it. Somebody asked the preacher, said, do you like special music? He said, well, yeah, if it's special. See, I've heard a lot that wasn't that special. So I just related to that. But they had the special music, and they had the crowd together, and everything's just going good. And the guest evangelist, the candidate, gets up and begins to preach and teach. Well, before long, it's 12 noon, and everybody knows you have to be out by then. And he just kept preaching. 12:30, 1:30, 2. And then the Bible says, and when the day began to wear away, I mean, it's getting late afternoon now, early evening, and here you are on the search committee, and the rest of them want to have a meeting. And while he's preaching, y'all have a meeting. I've had some of that too. And so they got together, and you're on the committee, remember? And so they said, what in the world are we going to do? He's been preaching since morning. The day's almost over with. He's going to preach all day. We got to do something. And I hear Peter. He said, yeah, man, I'm about to starve to death. And they said, well, we can't go tell him that. And they said, no, we don't want to tell him that. What we want to tell him is the people are hungry. And so you get elected to go tell them. And so you go up there, and it's just happening right here, you know. They went up there, and Jesus preaching, teaching, and you have to interrupt him somewhat. And he said, you know, Lord, I know that this has just been a great day. You know how you do that, that left-handed stuff, so you cut their throat, you know. Said, this has been such a wonderful day. Everything is great, Lord. I mean, matter of fact, we'd like to have you back next Sunday also. But now the people are see, we're in a desert place. And there's nowhere to get anything to eat. And the people are hungry. And we were just wondering, you know, they're so hungry. Now, we're all right, Lord. I mean, you preach all day. It's fine with us. But we're worried about the people. And maybe you could dismiss and let them go get something to eat. And he said, the people are hungry. He said, they are hungry. He said, we're fine. He said, you guys, oh yeah, Lord, we're fine. Now, we stay with you to the end. We are fine. We're terribly worried about the people because they're hungry. And he said, well, fine, feed them. You feed them. And so you've got to go back and tell the committee now what he said. And you get back and say, what did he say? He said, for us to feed them. He said, us? You mean us? Feed them? And we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes between us? He said, did you tell him how limited our resources were? This sounds so Baptistic to me. We have such limited resources. He said, well, what do you want me to do about it? He said, you go back and explain to him. And so you go back again and said, Lord, I told the guys what you said. And so we've been working on it. Huh? Isn't that the terminology? We've been working on the problem, Lord, and we've come up with another problem. And that is, we've got 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. And what are they among so many? Lord, we'd love to do it. We'd love to feed them because we're worried about them. But our resources are just so limited. And he said, tell me again, what did you say you had? He said, 2 fishes, 5 loaves. He said, fine, feed them. That'll get it. Feed them. We all got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, haven't we? Our problem is we won't keep them. That's the problem we have. And so we're back now. He goes back and he said, what did he say? He said, we're to feed them. He said, feed them how? He said, just feed them, you know. Not going to dismiss. He said he wasn't going to dismiss. He said, just take your... Matter of fact, he said the strangest thing. He said, get them to sit down in 50s, in groups of 50. And now you've got 5,000 families there. I don't know if you've ever worked with people or not, but they won't do what you ask them to do most of the time. Is that right? At least if they do, they're going to have a number of questions. And so they announced to the 5,000 men, said, y'all be seated in groups of 50 now. And I can just hear some old 6'3" Jew out there say, y'all going to feed us, are you? It's hard to sit down to eat when you can't see nothing to eat. And the disciples, he said, what are you going to feed us? He said, just sit down and be quiet, please. You know. And so we go through all of that. And I know the disciples were trying to figure out what the Lord was going to do to make it work. You know, we always like to figure out how God's going to do it, don't we? And I imagine they thought about Elijah when he fed the 100 men with the 20 loaves back there, you know, in 2 Kings chapter 4. And they said, that's what he'll do. He'll take these 2 fish and those loaves, and he'll pray over them, and there'll just be a mound of bread and fish. That's the way he'll do it. So they had it all figured out how God was going to do it. Boy, that's dumb, isn't it? You live long enough, you'll know how dumb it really is, you know. And so they got them all seated, and they brought the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes to the Lord. And I need to read to you one more time what he did in verse 16. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, looking up to heaven. He blessed them. Now, he's not blessing the disciples. He's not blessing the 5,000 men. What's he blessing? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he broke them 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. Now, I'm quite sure that just one of the men brought the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And when Jesus got through with it, he gave a little to the 12, but none of them had as much as one had before he started. Okay. We're doing good so far. We'll be through here before you know it. All right. So what do we miss in this story? I'll tell you what so often we miss. You see, they brought it and prayed over it, blessed it, break it, gave it to the disciples, and he said, now feed them. Now, each of them, I would guess, maybe had about 1/12 of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And here set 50, and here's another 50, and here's another 50, and 5,000 men, and the rest of them. And they're looking at 1/12 of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It didn't multiply. God didn't do it like he was supposed to, they thought. You understand? And so he said, feed them. And I can just, you know, old motor mouth Peter, he's looking, and he goes up and he says, take a piece, a very small piece, please. Little tiny piece, you know. You take a piece, small piece. And somewhere down that road, before he got to the end, all of a sudden, the bread and fish started to multiply. Now, here's what I think we miss sometimes. The miracle did not happen in Jesus' hand. It happened in the hands of the disciples. Is not that correct? Nothing happened to the bread and fishes in Jesus' hands as far as enlarging. It just was blessed. And then it was placed back in the disciples' hands. Now, there are two principles here that I want you to see. You're very blessed. I only have one other two-point sermon. Two principles I want you to see. The two principles of multiplication. Now let's get it. We do all have some fish and loaves. Now, just don't come telling me, well, I don't have anything to bring. We do. Principle number one, it has to be blessed before it can multiply. It has to be blessed. See, so many folks hear this kind of preaching from the pastor, from Sunday school teachers, and they'll say, well, I've never had my resources multiply like that. Why? Well, the reason is your resources are not blessed. See, they've never been blessed. You have to bring the first fruits to the house of God to get the blessing on the rest of it. Are we okay so far? Yeah, we've been talking about that for 3 days now, so we ought to be. You have to bring the first portion of the house of God so he can bless it. Now, to the local church, no strings attached, no designation. You can't designate the tithe. It's not yours. All right, we're doing good. Now, remember, when Jesus gave back to the disciples, the 12, it was smaller than what the one man brought to him. So it looks like they made a bad deal from the start. It just looks small, see. But the deal is that there's one difference now. Now then, it's blessed. So we're back to our question. Would you rather keep the 5 loaves and 2 fishes with it cursed, or have 1/12 of it and it blessed? And we get a better deal than that. See, we can carry the tithe, have the 90% in our hands to use, and it be blessed. So we're to bring it in. Your resources must be blessed to multiply. That's point one. Point two. I know you're having trouble believing this, but the next one's a long point. This may be the most important thing that'll be said this week, other than the things we've said out of the Scripture. Number one, it must be blessed to multiply. Number two, the rest must be given before it can multiply. Now just stay with me. Jesus blessed it, gave it back to them. Now, they're normal men. They could have said, you know, we need to have one more quick meeting before we feed them. And they could have went back there and said, you know, it's still just 12, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I don't care how you cut it. It's 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And we as hungry as they are. And so it just makes good sense to us. I'm speaking for us. That we eat it. I mean, we got it. Let's eat it. Now, they could have done that, right? Now, had they eaten it, would it have multiplied? No. Now, it was blessed. It had the potential to multiply. But you have to give it away for it to happen. You say, but man, you go in the hole. No, they came out. 12 baskets full. They came out all right. It wasn't that bad a deal. And taken up of the fragments that remained to them. 12 baskets full, you see. Here's what happens. Some folks tithe and get the blessing on the remainder. But then they're so stingy they won't give, and so it never multiplies. Well, I've lost my amens again. It's been a quiet week, hasn't it? Yeah. Okay. See, you never give it. You have to give it away. When you sow your seed, you don't lose the seed. It multiplies. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You read it sometimes. And multiply your seed sown. God doesn't do addition. He does multiplication, you see. Now, understand something. When you tithe, the rest of what you got's blessed, but it has to be given away to multiply. And we need to understand that. It has the potential, but it never does unless it's given away. You know, in the Bible, I guess you could just pick and pick and pick and wind up with how many offerings. I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, there are 3 types of offerings. Number 1 is the tithe, and it's not a pure offering because it has to be brought. Number 2 are the offerings. They have to be offered. But then you find in the Bible over and over again where there are extravagant offerings. I mean, to the world, it just seems like recklessness. To the world, it doesn't make any sense, you see. Extravagant offerings. And there are always some special things that happen with those. So, let's talk about this thing of it has to be given away in order to multiply. See, I know Baptists are one. And I know what goes on in our minds. I've been there, done that. But the first thing you have to do, you know, you got to get your finances in order. First thing you got to do is get out of debt. There's no need talking about this kind of stuff when you are a servant to a lender. When you become a slave and in bondage because of the debt that you owe. See, some of you need to stop paying car payments that are as high as your house payment. Sell it and buy you a car you can pay cash for and just drive it around like it was the newest Cadillac in town. Some of you need to downsize your living expenses. You need to get out of debt so you can get your priorities right. So you won't be a slave to money and get ready to give so God can do what he wants to do. That's step number 1. Get out of debt. Step number 2, do not manipulate. It's amazing to me how Christians act sometimes, especially Baptists. You know, don't get around folks that you think might have a little bit and start hinting. Come on. Suggesting, you know, inferring. I have a host of evangelist friends. I mean, a bunch of them. And some of them embarrass me. I get their letters. And you never get a letter that there's not a crisis and it dropped a transmission and blew an engine. I don't know how they can blow an engine every month, you know, and drop a transmission every month and blow out every tire on the vehicle every month. But some of them do it. And they're constantly begging people to send them money. Manipulating. You say, that's what a mailing list is for. No, it's not. No. That's what it's used for a lot. But no, they're constantly asking help from people. Don't do that. You don't have to be an evangelist to do that. It goes on in our churches. There are some folks that get in our churches who just network. Go from asking, manipulating. And you don't need to do that at all. Don't do it. You say, well, don't you ever need help? Yeah. But I'm not going to ask you for it. God can ask you for it if He wants me to have it. He'd make it a lot clearer than I can. Sure, we need help. You know that. Everybody knows that. But see, the thing is, it's real easy when you get on that path to look to others instead of looking to God. And all of a sudden, God's no longer your provider, but it's the fellow who sent you the last big check. Don't manipulate. That's not the way you get debt free. That's not the way you get things like they need to be. You know, just look to God and thank God that He said He'd provide for you. And then the third thing, and this is very personal, individually. There's no set do this thing. But there is a set do this, but not amount wise, and not when, and not exactly how. But you need to begin to give extravagantly as God blesses you. See, there are sitting in this room some good Christians who love God, who've never one time given God anything that they didn't already know they could afford to do. There are some folks in this room who have never given God a faith offering of any kind. They've always known where they were going to get the money. They always knew how they were going to do it. I don't know. It's the truth, isn't it? Now, Wanda and I, preacher asked me to do this. You remember? Wanda and I live off of our earthly resources. Let me rephrase it. Our earthly resources are love offerings from churches. We go to some churches and they give us love offerings. We go to even more churches and they give us like offerings. And we go to some who give us don't like offerings. And it's amazing, really. You know, what some consider as a decent offering. Now, they couldn't live on it. But they think you ought to be able to. Huh? He asked for this. You know, the price of automobiles, gasoline, right at the present time, for the last 2 years, I haven't noticed anything going down. You know, groceries, everything keeps going up. And so you go to church, you give them a week of your life, you're doing it for God, you're not doing it for them. But you'd think somebody would appreciate it down the way. Huh? And so they'll give you an offering. Oh, you know. And so we, Wanda and I, kind of been in that extravagant offering thing. And after we married, she has a sister, I have a sister. They're just nuisances, but you have to deal with them, you understand? And we decided that we wanted to carpet both of their houses for them. So we bought the carpet and the padding, and we delivered the carpet, and we paid for the carpet layers. And it just turned out to be a pretty good bunch of money. And then we had a meeting way out west, and another way out west. And I paid both our airfares out there. Plus, I don't mind paying my airfare, but shipping the bags cost not near as much as the airfare. I paid $40 to get the bags out there and $40 to get the bags back. And he gave us a little offering. I mean, a little. It was one of them don't like offerings. And but that's all right. You know, we figure that's going to happen. And then we came back and we had some medical, dental expense stuff come up that we hadn't figured. And all of a sudden, we kind of operating in a deficit situation. And you say, who'd you call? Didn't call nobody. Didn't tell nobody. And then we went to a little church in another state, run about 60. 60 would be a big crowd. We went for a super weekend Faith Promise Missions Conference. We were there Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. And they never had, you know, he just said they had 60. They never had 60 there when we was there. And so we just had a good time and preached. And I told Wanda, I said, now don't be disappointed. Don't expect much stuff. See, she hadn't been doing this long. She don't know Baptists that well. And I said, just don't get expecting a whole lot, and don't be disappointed. God'll take care of us. I think I was talking to me, but I pointed at her. And so they gave us an envelope at the end of the meeting. Now, we were there, and there were about six missionary families there. And we left and got back to the motel. We were waiting one another out, you know. See who was going to say, let's see the envelope. So we finally flipped and figured out which one was going to open it. She opened it and she said, you're not going to believe this. I said, yeah, I'll believe it. I said, how much is it? And she said, you look. I look. $3,500. Well, but we had been given extravagant offerings. That wasn't helping at all right now. But I was glad. We went the next Sunday to a church in Amarillo there for two services. Left, gave us an envelope, opened it before we got to the motel. We're getting excited about opening those envelopes now. $2,000. Two church, one of them absolutely impossible for them to do it, but they did it. The other one did it because they wanted to. And so $5,500 in two Sundays caught everything up. Covered the don't like offerings, covered the like offerings because two gave us love offerings. See, that's so much better than asking somebody to bail you out. That makes you think God does care for me. God said he would. He does. See, we don't give him opportunity to. You have to get out there in that extravagant offering where you don't know just how you're going to do it. Unless God does what he says he's going to do. And to top it all off for that, we were out there in that offering in that meeting in Arizona. And I didn't mean to say that. But that state out there. And there was a missionary family there. And had 16 gillion kids, you know how missionaries are. They'd get up and they'd line up the whole platform. And the kids had on, they had on high water breeches and stuff hanging out the sides of them. And Wanda said we ought to buy them some clothes. I just ignored it. We stayed there. And that was one of those meetings. That took two Sundays. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That was one of those kind. And so, toward the end of the week, she took a different approach. She said, we ought to give them an offering. I'm thinking, if you knew what was coming, you'd think give them an offering. And I said, no, and here's what I honestly said. I said, well, the Lord hadn't said anything to me about it. And here's what she honestly said. She said, but he has me. And I said, okay. Huh? I said, okay. How much? And I wish I hadn't have asked her. And so we sent him a check. And some people don't understand, because to this good day, we've never heard from him. Hmm? So that changes the direction sometimes of where the next one will go. You understand? But see, those things, and God just says, I'll take care of you. So you need to get out of debt. You need to not manipulate. And you need to get in the habit, as God directs, not this wildfire stuff, none of this thinking you're going to manipulate God by doing something people talk about. As God directs you, get in the habit of giving some extravagant offerings. While we were in the midst of all of that, one of the recipients asked me, said, why would you do this? Oh, what a wonderful opening. Because God directed me to. Now, they won't get away from that. You just don't get away from that. It just won't happen, you see. And so God tries to teach us some things about giving, so we can be a blessing to others and glorify God, get lost folks saved. And we have so much to learn. But we all have some fishes and loaves. So remember, it must be blessed to prepare it to multiply. And it must be given away in order to multiply. And over in 1 Kings chapter 3, you need not even turn there. You're going to be very familiar with it. I'm through. Solomon got pretty religious there on one occasion, and he started giving some extravagant offerings. I'm going to read chapter 3 and verse 5, but in the previous verses, he had just sacrificed 1,000 sacrifices. And in the next verse, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now, when you find that in the Bible, it's usually in reference to extravagant giving. You give extravagantly somewhere, some way, somehow. God speaks to your heart. About now, you ask what I shall give you. It does say, give and it shall be given to you. He said, you go ahead now and tell me what that it is. So you might ask I'd like to have a life with my wife that we could enjoy and it would glorify you. You reckon God would give a person that? You could say, I'd like to have a long life. You younger folks, I'd like to have a long life with my wife and my children to glorify you. And he asked a pretty good question, because you get down toward the end in verse 13. He said, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. But that's the part I like. See, when you get that question, ask what I shall give thee. If you answer it right, then there's a P.S. stuck on it. Verse 13, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. See, he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for honor. He asked to be wise, to make the right choices. And God said, okay, I'll do that for you. And said, I'll go you one up. I'll give you what you didn't ask for. Honor and riches. See, in the Bible, riches, biblical riches, are always a package deal. Honor always goes with it. See, a lot of worldlings have money. They don't have riches. They don't have wealth because they don't have any honor. 2 points. You got to bring the first fruits for the rest to be blessed, and you got to give of the rest for it to multiply. Bow your head, please. Every head's bowed. And the altars wait on you. We just have one more service. And tonight you ought to make some decisions about this multiplication process. You ought to search your heart. Have you ever given an extravagant offering, one you didn't know how it was going to work out? Now, you don't do that unless God directs you. You say, maybe, well, God's never directed me. Maybe you never got a blessing on it to start with. If you're not tithing, you need to determine, I'm going to be an honest Christian, and I'm going to bring the tithe of everything to the house of God. No strings attached. And Lord, I'm going to give. I'm going to give to missions. I'm going to give to the building fund. I'm going to give as you direct. And Lord, since it's going to multiply now, I'd be glad to give an extravagant offering as you directed it. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. We take this as a bad part of Christianity, as the part we disdain. We think you're after our stuff, our money. And help us tonight to realize how you're trying to set us free and to bless and to let us be used for your honor and glory. May tonight someone find victory through your word, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.